You are listening to the Fire Rescue Athlete Podcast with your host, Aaron Zamzow.
What's going on, Fire Rescue Fitness Nation? Aaron Zamzow here to talk a little bit about workouts, namely how to set up your workouts. I get a lot of questions when I go to seminars, and I get a lot of posts on my Fire Rescue Fitness Facebook page, and I get a lot of emails, in which I encourage you, by the way, if you're listening to this right now, you got a question, you think I'm either off my rocker, I'm either on something or onto something, please reach out to me. Probably the best way, you can send me an email at zamzowfitness@gmail.com. You can also go to firerescuefitness.com and click on the contact us or contact me page, and that goes directly to me as well. But one of the common questions I get is, how should I be setting up my workout? Now, if it's a workout that's at a station, you only maybe have 25 to 30 minutes. You want to be efficient with it because you might get that call. If it's at the gym, how do I set it up? Because you may need different areas of the gym. But again, this is one of the most common things I get. And so today I want to just address that a little bit. I think one of the biggest misconceptions and the biggest mistake I see with firefighters and their fitness and their workouts is that we don't take enough time to warm up properly. In the past, and I'm well into my 40s, so my generation, when you went to the gym, your warm up consisted of walking on the treadmill for 5 minutes or doing the step mill or elliptical and going on that for a nice easy pace for 5 minutes, and then you go do your traditional workout. And or even just do some static stretching after that. So you'd walk for 5 minutes, then you'd go hold a stretch for 20 or 30 seconds. Now, I'm not saying that static stretching is not good for you. It's not good for you in the warm-up phase. So the first thing that every firefighter workout program must have or must contain is an active workout. Or an active warm-up. Some people will call this, active mobility, whatever you want to call it. Basically, what it is it's preparing your body in all planes of motion. So if I walk, I'm only going straight. If I'm doing elliptical, I'm only going in one plane of motion. So these are movements that you get into position. So we'll take, for instance, even a body weight squat is a great way to warm up. Each time you do the squat, you try to get a little bit deeper, stretch out the muscle groups. You only hold these or do these movements for 2 to 3 seconds. One of my favorites is a full body chop. So you go double width stance. So your feet are out twice the size of your hips. Arms reach up towards the ceiling, and then you're going to rotate your body or your torso and then reach down between your legs and just continually do that chop for 6 to 8 reps. That's an example of it. You might see some people in the gym, they do what's called a band walk, or even jumping jacks are a great way to start warming up the body in different planes of motion, especially if you add twists to them. So I think one of the biggest things, again, we see is that, and I'm going to pick on the younger guys who like to bench all the time, they go in, their warm-up might consist of 10 lightweight bench presses. And I think that's a big mistake because you're not warming your body up thoroughly. You're not warming it up in all planes of motion. So the first thing you need to do, you go to that gym, you can still do your 5 minute walk. You can still do your 3 to 5 minute elliptical or even a jog, but then you need to start doing some active movements, some stretches or mobility work where your body moves into a range of motion. Each rep, you increase that a little bit. You're only holding each rep or stretch for 2 to 3 seconds. The next part of that is to do some foam rolling. And that will help get blood flow deeper into the muscle groups, helps to work out muscle adhesions, which are, usually the lumps within your muscles that are really sore. And that can be sore for many, many reasons. One might be a workout a couple days ago or a bad shift, or you strain a muscle stepping off the rig. Foam rolling is essential to help getting blood flow and helping to recover. So I cannot emphasize that enough. As a matter of fact, we'll probably do a whole podcast on mobility work and active movements. So the first thing you need to do, warm up properly. The second thing you need to do is include what I like to call prehab. Now, some people call it core work. I like to call prehab slash core. And what we mean by prehab is, let me even take it a step back further. In the fire service, you know, you look around the table and you ask the question, how many of you have injured your back on duty? How many of you have injured a shoulder? How many of you had knee problems? I would almost say 80 to 90% of that entire table will raise their hand. The 1% the 10 to 15% are the newbies or the rookies who will, eventually, possibly, and hopefully not, but the way that the trend is that they will have some type of injury when they're on duty. So to combat against these injuries, we do what I like to call the prehab work. So if you've ever injured your back, one of the movements they always give you is a glute bridge, where you're laying on your back, you push your hips up, squeeze through your glutes. And the idea there is to, you know, get your glutes to fire, alleviate some of the pressure on your back and strengthen your hips and your core. My question to you is, why wait until you get injured? Let's do the stuff that physical therapist, occupational therapist would give you if you had that injury. Let's be proactive in it. And that's what we call prehab. So prehab and core is the second essential component. You do your active movement. You go into your core exercises. This could be anything from a stability ball crunch, a glute bridge, ball T's and Y's, which are shoulder movements, a plank, not only a front plank, but a side plank. You could do these for time. You can do these for reps. I also like to incorporate some balance work within my core phase. Again, this not only helps to combat against injuries, but it gets us stronger altogether, works on coordination, and it continually warms us up. So, you know, you go through that active movement, you do a little foam roll, you do your core work. Now, I got some people saying, well, you should be doing, you know, per, you know, Smith and Smith and whatever Johnson's research, they state that core work is most efficient and effective while done after your major muscle groups. And to that, I could probably say they might be right, but I'm all about application. And I'll tell you what, I have gone to the gym now for 40 some years. And I don't know how many times I've said, oh, I'll do ab work at the end, and I never do it. Or I'll do my ab work at home, which I never do. So I feel it's such an important aspect of health, wellness, and fitness for firefighters that we need to make sure we place emphasis on it and we do it right away. So one of the reasons why is to make sure that we're still fresh. Number one. Number two is that we get it done. So you warm up, you incorporate your core. Okay. Those are two of the essential things that you do. Then as you go through your workout, now you can do your strength. And this is where we're going to have a debate. I can feel it already. Of course, I'm going to ask the question, how much do you bench, bro? Right? How much do you squat, bro? The debate is about whether or not we need to do full body workouts with our strength. We need to do push. We need to do pull, chest and tri, back and bi, whatever you want to, you know, term it and call it. Here's my take on strength training for firefighters. So now you're warmed up, you've done your core. If you are new to this, if you need a change in your workouts, if you haven't done full body in a long time, and again, if you're just beginning, I feel that you need to do full body strength. A couple reasons why. Number one, I have never isolated any muscle group on the fire ground, right? I've never just isolated my back. I've never just isolated my biceps. It's always been, you know, core work, heavy leg work, heavy upper body work, whether you're advancing hose line, whether you're venting a roof, whether you're carrying stuff up steps. It's a full body workout, right? So why do you go to the gym then and do chest and triceps and back and biceps? To me, that doesn't necessarily transfer to performance improvement, injury reduction, that kind of goal. Now, we can argue both ways, and I think both ways are correct. But again, if you're just starting off, let's do the full body. Now, if you've done full body workouts for 12 to 16 weeks, you've seen great results, you're in good shape, you feel like you're confident on the fire ground, you have a good cardiovascular base, then I think we can look at, let's do in some more segmented work and do with an emphasis on strength. yet still keep a full body workout every once in a while to make sure that we're maintaining that performance. So that's really my take on it. I believe that after you warm up, you do your core, you should do full body strength because we do not isolate on the fire ground. Now, if you've been doing chest and triceps on Monday, back and biceps on Tuesday, supposed to be doing legs on Wednesday, but let's face it, a lot of times you skip, right? Thursday is a little bit of cardio. Friday is the beach body day. And then Saturday you skip because you're hungover from Friday. And Sunday might be a little bit of abs and recovery. Look, I've worked in gyms for 25 years and I can guarantee you that's what happens. Every day, every Monday, the chest and the bench press machines are packed, right? Now, if you are a firefighter, EMT, and medic, and you're doing the same thing, I'm going to tell you to stop doing that. Go to full body. Give me 8 weeks. Matter of fact, I got a great program for you. Give me 8 weeks on that program. I guarantee you I can get you to lose fat, gain a ton of strength, and actually add pounds to your bench and your deadlift and your squat and all your core lifts by working out my way here. All right. So the third component, you're going to do some full body strength work. All right. After that, we're going to do some cardio. Now you're going to say to me, well, Aaron, aren't we more at risk for dying of cardiovascular disease and cardiorespiratory rest? And I say, yeah. But you're going to get some cardio work on your non-strength training days. You also want to get, I feel like you want to do interval training. And here's the thing, on the fire ground, it's go, 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 stop. Right? So hump that hose. Okay. Hope we're good. All right. Hump it some more, right? Let's do search. All right. Stop. Listen, let's do more search. Okay. It's a start, stop. I feel like after you're doing full body strength, what I like to do and what we do with our FRF workout programs, we do what's called afterburners. Sometimes you'll hear me call them interval overhauls, where it's 10 to 15 minutes of fire ground based movements. So we'll do crawls for 30 seconds as hard as you can. This is where you can do sledges, drags, pushes, pulls, steps. If you're a runner, you want to do some running, you just run some intervals. So it's either hill running or a faster pace. 10 to 15 minutes with these intervals at the end of your strength training program, you're really going to challenge your cardiovascular system and you're going to help to improve your VO2. So you want to make sure that you throw that in right after your strength. I like to use that time to incorporate in, again, movements that we do on the fire ground, pushes and pulls and drags. And this is where you can do your sledges and use your tires and, be creative with it. So after that, the last part that you need to do is work on your cool down and your static stretching, which will A, help bring your heart rate back down, B, help you prepare for your next shift, for your next workout, for your next physical challenge, which we know we have a ton of in the fire service. So, I like to do, because I have workout ADHD or ADD, as soon as I'm done with my cardio, I want to bolt, I'll be honest. So I started to come up with these 4-minute stretch routines. And you can click on the link for this podcast and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. But I hold 6 different stretches for 20 seconds. I just set an interval timer for 4 minutes. Every 20 seconds, I'm doing a different stretch. A lot of times after that 4 minutes, I'll wind up repeating and doing it twice for 8 because I start to feel really good. I bring my heart rate down. And this is where you can incorporate some downward dog, some yoga, some of these longer stretches where you're holding them for 20 to 30 seconds. Again, because that's going to bring your heart rate down and it's going to help elongate your muscles and get you set up for your next workout. If you have time after that, you can do some more foam rolling. For me personally, these 4-minute routines, I actually started to incorporate them in whenever I get a little time. So if I'm at the shift, for instance, yesterday morning, I did a really good workout on, what day is it today? Let's say I did a good workout on Tuesday. I had a shift early on Wednesday. And to start my shift, I was sore. So I did a couple 4-minute stretch routines, did some foam rolling as I watched our daily briefing and really felt good. So here's a way that you can start incorporating some of the yoga movements. If you want to set your timer for 30 seconds, great. If you want to do 8 minutes of it, great. Again, I like to at least stay, I start with 4 and then you know, depending upon how much time I have. Now that sounds like a lot. It sounds like, man, these are hour and a half workouts. It's really not. We do not take a lot of time to rest between our strength exercises and sets. We don't take a lot of time, if any, to rest between our prehab and core. And we don't take any time to rest at our active movements because, of course, the goal of our active movement is to prep our body, get our heart rate going, and get the blood flowing. So as you start to create your workouts in this pattern, you become more efficient at them, and you can get them done in 40 to, you know, even 30 minutes if you're really booking. It depends on how much strength training you want to do and how much cardiovascular training you want to get in with these intervals. But I feel like, again, the biggest thing that we skip are the things in the beginning. I think we skip our active movement. I think a lot of times we skip active core work and prehab work. A lot of times the guys that I see doing a lot of the mobility and prehab are the ones that have an injury and are recovering from it. And my emphasis to you is, why wait? Don't wait. Don't wait till you get injured. Let's start doing these things right away and hopefully combat against injury. And the other thing you'll notice is that your metabolism is a little bit higher. You're more mobile. So you're able to push more weight, add more muscle, and improve your performance. So there you go. That's a long-winded version of how to set your workouts up. I hope I made some great points. I hope you have some questions, and I hope you reach out. Again, this is Aaron Zamza with a Fire Rescue Athlete Podcast. Please let me know if you have any questions, if you need help with any workouts, or have any suggestions on how we can grow this mission and message. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Fire Rescue Athlete Podcast with your host, Aaron Zamzow. Please tune in again soon for more fitness tips for fire rescue athletes.